Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
What a beautiful Tuesday night in Lansing. Gotta love it here. Michael Cohen, this is 1320 WILS. Thank you for joining us. Mitt Romney swinging through Lansing today, making an appearance at Dart Auditorium at Lansing Community College. And as he now directs his attention on President Obama, he has made one thing very clear, and that is that our economic conditions could be better if we had a different president. To get some reaction, I'm joined by Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Mark, thanks for coming on the program this evening.
Glad to be with you.
Now, you know, one thing that Mitt Romney said today in Lansing is that President Obama's time in office has been disappointing. Do you at least agree that things have not turned out quite as well as was initially hoped when he was swept into office?
No, not at all. And that's particularly true for us here in Michigan. I mean, it's really ironic that Mitt Romney spoke almost in the shadow of the downtown General Motors plant. You know, that plant would be a vacant hulk today if Romney had been president and had his way. So there's no question that Michigan, in particular, is much better off because Barack Obama was president the last 3 years.
How can the credit be given to him directly? I mean, shouldn't some of it go to what's happening here in our state, Governor Snyder's work, and state Republicans?
Not in terms of the auto industry. I mean, unless the president had stepped up like he did at great political peril and rescued those companies, they'd be out of business today. Ford would probably have gone down as well, but certainly General Motors and Chrysler would be gone. And Mitt Romney, you know, said, let them go. Let them go bankrupt. Let them liquidate. And he wouldn't have been there for them. And so now that they are back and they are generating jobs, new jobs, had terrific growth in auto manufacturing generally, but that would not have happened unless those companies have been rescued. So I think you really got to give that credit to President Obama. He stood with us when things were dark here, and Mitt Romney turned his back on us.
Well, you know, voters do have a very short memory, and at this point, people are looking ahead. We've seen jobs numbers, at least for April, down over 100,000 from the February numbers. We saw a similar slowdown last year. Do you begin to worry when you see this happening that this could very well bolster Romney's argument as we head into the election?
No, not at all. Look, we've had 2 years of job growth every month. Do we have enough jobs yet? No. But we're moving in the right direction. We lost almost 1 million jobs in the last months, every month, in the last month of the Bush administration. So we've come a long way back. We're not back where we need to be. But there are some other great job numbers out today. That employers last month posted nearly 4 million jobs for which they were looking for workers. That's the highest number in 4 years. So things are moving in the right direction. And again, particularly here in Michigan, that would not be happening without what the president did to save the auto industry.
What about the things that aren't talked about as much, the fact that there are tens of thousands of state residents that have simply dropped out of the job market? Do you really think Michiganians view the current economic outlook as that rosy?
Well, again, I think it's getting better. It's certainly getting better. And again, we're happy to draw this contrast, and I think it was very interesting today that Mitt Romney said absolutely nothing about the auto rescue. Because he knows he made a mistake in that regard, and it was a real problem for him. The economic situation would be far, far worse. I mean, I'm walking on the streets of downtown Lansing as we speak. This town would be a ghost town if those General Motors plants had gone down and all the auto suppliers with them. So, mm-hmm. You know, are we where we need to be? No. We've got work to do, but we've made tremendous progress under President Obama.
As you know, Michigan has not voted for a Republican for president since George Herbert Walker Bush. Do you consider Mitt Romney one of the strongest Republican presidential candidates in several decades?
No, I don't really consider him that strong. I mean, again, it's not just the auto rescue, but, you know, today he's at a community college. He supports a budget which would cut education funding, not just to community colleges, but to K-12 and higher ed, which would vastly increase the cost of student loans in this country. He's not a strong candidate on the issues here in Michigan. That being said, we're not going to take this election for granted. Mm-hmm. We've got to go out and work every 4 years to carry the state for the presidential candidates. But no, I don't consider him a particularly strong candidate at all.
Well, the government still does own part of General Motors. They're not able to get out because the It would lead to quite a loss if they were to drop their stock right now. So don't you think a lot of voters have a fundamental agreement with him on at least the principle of not having government get involved in this way in the private sector?
I think the voters of Michigan and actually are very pragmatic, There was no other way to save those companies except by the government stepping in. And given that choice, I think the people of Michigan and a lot of other voters said, yeah, we needed to do that under those circumstances. You know, obviously we want the government to sell those shares and get out of General Motors as soon as possible. But they also want to make sure that they're good stewards of the taxpayers' money. Last time there was an auto rescue in this state, Chrysler, back in the 80s, the federal government and the taxpayers actually made money off that rescue. So we've got to do this in a prudent fashion, you know, get out of those companies in terms of that investment and in a way which protects the taxpayers.
I'm talking to Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Mark, I want to focus on state politics for a moment. I had State Representative Mark Meadows on the show yesterday. He said that while bipartisanship is a bit lacking at the Capitol, that 80 to 90% of votes are practically unanimous. What does that really say about the level of agreement that's now occurring between the two parties here?
Well, on a lot of routine things, and the government does a lot of routine things, the legislature addresses a lot of routine legislation. That's true, that there is a lot of bipartisan cooperation. But on the key issues confronting us, you know, should we, you know, cut taxes for businesses in this state and have them create, you know, very few, if any, jobs as a result, while at the same time gutting public education, raising taxes on seniors? On those kinds of issues, there are very fundamental disagreements between the parties, and that's obviously what the attention gets focused on.
You know, for all the arguments that the Democrats have had on that strategy, we are now sitting on a surplus. Do you think if Democrats had been in control that the same result could have occurred?
I think, yes. What would be happening is that we would have better investments in education, which is really, really important. If you want an educated workforce, if you want employers to come to this state and grow in this state, you need to have an educated workforce. You don't get that, you know, by cutting $1 billion of public education, by continuing to disinvest in our higher education. You know, we're falling behind, further and further behind other states. I think that was a fundamental error made by the governor and the Republicans last year. We should be investing in education, not cutting it.
Well, their plans are, in fact, to change the way we teach. They'd say there's a smarter way to go about it. Part of the plan is to increase cyber schools, to increase charter schools, and find ways that don't cost the taxpayers so much.
Well, the problem, though, is that are those methods going to work? You know, there's no proof that cyber schools are going to work. There's no proof, certainly, that charter schools as a whole are any better. And what you're doing is you're taking taxpayer dollars and giving them to for-profit companies. And so rather than money being spent to educate our kids, it's going into profits of those companies. And we just have a fundamental disagreement on that. Do we want the education system as Democrats to be as good as possible? Absolutely. But we should be investing in proven means of educating our kids and certainly not lining the pockets of for-profit companies.
Is there any evidence, though, that putting more and more money into a system that in some cases is not working, that will necessarily improve anything?
We have to continue to work to improve education. But again, yesterday there was a group of business leaders here in Lansing. What state do they compare Michigan to? North Carolina, which, unlike Michigan, is investing in higher education. And they're getting results for that. You're not going to get anywhere by refusing to invest and actually disinvesting. We've got some terrific public universities in this state, but they're not going to remain terrific for long or be world competitive if we don't invest in them. That's what we need to be doing.
So let's look ahead to the state house elections this year. Is there really any way for Democrats to take back control? And if so, how do you see that happening?
Yes. I mean, you look at the record of these Republicans and some of the issues we've talked about, you know, cutting public education by $1 billion, raising taxes on seniors, to give a $2 billion tax cut to businesses, which is, frankly, has not produced jobs. There's no accountability there. And a lot of the issues that we've seen them voting on made the voters, you know, frankly, quite angry. And those are the kind of issues we're going to be taking to the voters this fall.
I expect
a very hard-fought election for the state house. We've got great issues and a great set of candidates to run with.
Well, what areas of the state do you think Republicans are going to lose seats?
Well, I think there's seats all over the state. That, frankly, they won big in a Republican year in 2010. Many of those are first-timers. They come to Lansing, and they've been voting the party line, doing what the party bosses tell them. And it's really out of sync with what folks back home want. I mean, look, everybody in the state wants a good public education system. They don't want to see their public schools disinvested in. They don't want to see their parents and grandparents have their taxes raised unfairly while other folks are not sharing in the sacrifice. Those are issues that affect everybody throughout the state, and there are districts throughout the state in which will be very competitive this fall.
I mean, is there any clear evidence right now that the numbers would be there to actually flip the majority?
Oh, yeah. No, I think you see it. You saw it, frankly, it was a part of the recall that happened with Paul Scott last fall. I mean, once he got on the ballot, you know, voters had a chance. There was a referendum on the Republican agenda. And despite all the money that was thrown into that race by Republicans in Lansing and so forth, he lost. And I think that should be a warning shot to Republicans.
One last question about Romney and President Obama. How important is the Supreme Court ruling on the Affordable Care Act that we're going to get this summer? And how do you think the decision, whichever way it comes out, will impact the race?
I don't think it's going to have much of an impact either way. But I think the court's got to be very, very careful that if the ruling is perceived as political, that really will damage the credibility of the court and could really galvanize voters in the election in the fall.
I mean, can you envision the court deciding that it is constitutional and that actually being a hindrance to the president, considering that there is this this mandate aspect of it?
I mean, they should find it constitutional. The precedents are there in terms of the ability to uphold it. And it would be ignoring that precedent and, frankly, making a political decision were they to overturn any part of that law.
But couldn't that draw?
Be very careful. I mean, this is a court that, you know, put George Bush in the White House 10 years ago. This is a court that ruled in the Citizens United case. Those are very unpopular decisions. If they add to that a very political ruling on health care, they risk damaging their own reputation.
Can't you see a positive ruling, though, causing those who are infuriated with the individual mandate, getting them out to the polls to vote against the president?
I think they're coming out to the polls anyway. I don't think it's going to be any additional motivation or anything else. They're coming out to the polls anyway. And again, I think what's really at stake here is the reputation of the United States Supreme Court.
Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Mark, thanks for joining us this evening.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about these massive online courses now being offered by some of the top universities in the country, including the University of Michigan. Over 100,000 students for these courses. It's an amazing thing. We'll find out how they're structured, how they work, and if they do work. That is next. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.